My brothers and sisters in the Lord, last Sunday we celebrated Passion or Palm Sunday. Just prior to the reading of the Passion narrative, we heard one of the most ancient of passages contained within the sacred scriptures. St. Paul's words concerning Jesus' great self-emptying, in Greek, kenosis. It is recorded in the second chapter of his letter to the Philippians. Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself. My friends, the Mass of Holy Thursday, the Mass of the Lord's Supper, deepens our understanding of that mystery of the self-emptying of Jesus Christ, and calls us to enter into it in the real stuff of our everyday lives. Tonight we celebrate the gift of the ministerial priesthood, which continues to make present the priesthood of Jesus Christ. When our priest stands at the altar, it is Jesus in whom he stands. Christ is the victim, and Christ is the holy oblation. Jesus gave himself to us in the great meal in which we participate in on this holy night. At this Last Supper, Jesus anticipated the altar of the cross at which he would willingly pour out the very last drop of his blood so that we could be set free. As St. Paul told the Galatians, for freedom, Christ sets us free. My friends, we are set free to live real human lives in him, for him, and with him for the sake of the world. When the Lord rose from that table, he showed us the supernatural expression of love, an expression that reveals the heart of the Christian vocation. He, my friends, who is Lord and Master, King of Kings, took off his cloak of royal splendor and became a servant. He washed the feet of those whom he chose to continue his redemptive work. He showed them what they were chosen to do. And then he enlisted them to live lives of self-emptying love for the world. To bear the name Christian is to walk in this kind of love in the midst of a broken and wounded world waiting to be reborn. My brothers and sisters, we live in a world which God still loves. He still sends his Son into that world through the church of which we are all members. That world is being recreated anew as he continues his mission through the church. The early Christians spoke of the church as the world in the process of being transfigured. And my friends, we are a part of that body, that communion which brings heaven to earth and earth to heaven. It is in this sense that we come to understand that Christian love is meant to be lived. In a few moments, I will take the basin, the towel, and the pitcher, and I wash the feet of 12 male parishioners representing the original 12 apostles as a symbol of that love which we are called to as disciples of the Lord. The love of the incarnate Word, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, is made into symbolic action. For you see, my friends, love is a command. It's a mandate. This foot washing is more than a reenactment of an actual historical event. It is a participation in the ongoing redemptive mission of Jesus Christ through his church and the real nitty-gritty world of our age. For you see, foot washing expresses what living a life of self-emptying love looks like, in imitation of the Lord who emptied himself for us. It has been traditionally referred to as the mandatum, the command. It is an invitation to become a man or a woman poured out for others. A Christian who lives the love of charity, the love of Jesus Christ, makes Jesus Christ real, and in doing so, the incarnation continues. During this brief ritual foot washing, we are reminded of the interior change that must take place in each of us as we approach other people with generosity and respect and service. Tonight, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to observe this solemn ritual action with a heart that is ready to receive the mandatum novium, the new commandment to love one another as Christ has loved us, to serve others in the name of Jesus. My friends, our participation in the mysteries of these three holy days, we will encounter the Lord himself. And in that encounter, he calls us afresh to follow him, to bear his name in the world in which we live, to pray and to live in that name, my friends, that name Christian. It helps us to remember what names mean in the biblical sense. They communicate identity. Through grace, we have the capacity to become an epiphany, a manifestation of the self-emptying servant love of Jesus the Christ. For all those, my friends, who have ever asked the perennial question, what would Jesus do? Here is your answer. Tonight, God gets down on his knees for us. Tonight, he lowers himself. Tonight, he becomes a servant to the world, as humble as a slave, as meager and plain as a crumb of bread. From this, we learn what it means to be like Christ. The overwhelming impression is surprising and challenging. It is God becoming less so that we may become more. The imitation of Christ begins with this moment. It is in this selfless service, doing what others won't do, doing what others can't do. It is people that I have met over the years and those that I have read about. It is individuals like Dr. Elma Levy, who goes on a mission trip to Guatemala each year, providing medical care to a large number of patients in one of the Western Hemisphere's poorest countries, and caring for those who cannot care for themselves. It is like the volunteers at Catholic Charities and those who assist with our St. Vincent de Paul societies and other social outreach ministries that work with the poor and the forgotten and the infirmed and the aged and the homeless and the imprisoned of our city, those who many consider unlovable. I think of thousands of people who rise early almost every morning in every kind of weather and go to the numerous abortion clinics throughout our country and stand outside and simply pray. A humble, simple act that changes hearts and saves lives. And as we have seen with the former abortion mill on Ridge Lake in Metairie, prayer and sacrifice done with perseverance and love makes a huge difference. And it's priests, thousands around the world, who anoint our sick and offer absolution for our sins and celebrate Mass with one simple goal in mind: the salvation of souls. On the morning of March 4th, life at a Yemen compound run by five nuns of the religious order founded by Mother Teresa began as usual, with breakfast, Mass, and prayer. Yet it soon turned into 90 minutes of terror as armed members of ISIS, bent on killing the nuns and their volunteers, stormed the facility. 16 people died that day, including four nuns: Sister Anselm, Sister Marguerite, Sister Regina, and Sister Judith. A fifth nun, Sister Sally, the superior of the local community, was the only one who lived to tell the story. In the most recent correspondence that the missionaries of charity have sent from Yemen, the sisters have wrote this to the rest of the community throughout the globe, and I quote, "No one knows how long this war will go on. So far, we rely on our Heavenly Father, and He provides for all of our needs. Keep on praying for us. Don't worry about us. We surrender ourselves into the hands of God and trust it all to him. For St. Paul says, in life and death, we belong to the Lord. End quote. My friends, when you look at those words, when you hear those words, in the way that much of the world would hear those words, they make little sense. They seem to even be nonsense. But when you consider that the nuns who wrote them follow in the footsteps of a soon-to-be saint named Blessed Mother Teresa, who founded the Missionaries of Charity, they take on a whole new meaning. The example of the lives of these martyrs of charity grates on people of hate and bigotry and violence, that there might be some people who love and forgive and serve with charity and no animosity at all. My friends, that is what it means to be like Christ. That is what it means to wash feet, just as those sisters were doing as they were martyred. As we have heard in the gospel, so during supper, fully aware that the Father had put everything into his hands, and they had come from God and was returning to God, Jesus rose from supper and took off his outer garments. He took a towel and tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel that was around his waist. So when he had washed their feet, put his garments back on, and reclined at table, he said, "You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am. Therefore I, the master and teacher, have washed your feet. You ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." My friends, here is this poignant scene recorded by the beloved disciple. Here in this scene, we encounter Jesus before he shares a final meal with his closest friends, before he who knew no sin would suffer and freely stretch out his scarred arms and embrace the entire world and join heaven to earth, showing the depth and substance of true love. Shortly after this event, we read of the continuation of this great act of poured out love. First, Jesus inaugurates the great meal that is itself the very heart of the holy exchange, the sacrifice, the holy oblation of love. He gives himself as food for those who will make the journey with him back to the Father and invites them to bring the whole world back with them. Then this innocent one walks the way of suffering and mounts the altar of sacrifice on Golgotha in order to fully pour himself out, every last drop of blood and water flowing from his wounded side on behalf of us all, beginning creation anew, overcoming sin, paying the debt of justice, and defeating the devil and the last enemy, death. My friends, as we enter into this Triduum, which in Latin means the three great days, we are invited to make this mystery our own. Not mere spectators in this act of love. We are empowered to become participants. We who bear the name Christian are called ourselves to pick up the basin and towel, to climb up to the cross, and to learn and to live this way of love in service, in the very stuff of our own lives. Our faith and love are meant to be active and real. We live love eternal, promise, by living like the one who washed his disciples' feet. For you see, my friends, when we serve, we make the mystery of self-giving love real by washing feet. In that upper room, the night before he died for us, that Last Supper, that Holy Thursday, the Lord Jesus clearly showed us the source of our faith, the reason for our faith, the practice of our faith, the goal of our faith, and the reward of our faith. That is why tonight is holy. This night and everything about it, everything that we celebrate and remember, is in him and for him and about him. The Passover, from death to life in salvation history is the background for what we believe. The offering of his body and blood in the Eucharist and his continual real presence in the heart of what we believe. Humble and loving service of our brothers and sisters is how we confirm and show authentic love and authentic faith. This night, my brothers and sisters, this night, our journey toward Calvary begins in earnest. But so does our journey toward Easter. Holy Communion is often referred to as viaticum, or food for the journey. Let us prepare to receive that food so that we can begin that journey. A journey of struggle, yes, but also a journey of faith. It is a journey that a billion others around the world are also undertaking with us on this sacred night. We share it with them for one beautiful and hopeful reason. We do this in remembrance of him.